Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news at the start of another exciting week around United. And I tell you what, we're going to be starting off with some really incredible news around Newcastle, I think, and whether Man United are going to act quickly, because there's big things going on there. And if United's news, they will lose. Also, Bruno Fernandes looks like he's going to be staying at Man United. More stuff coming out about that. I've got a very interesting question for you around Manchester United's form that doesn't revolve around XG or Amrim or Carrick or Wilcox or, you know, parking the bus or what's going to happen next season. I want to get your thoughts on that as well. We will have some manager talk. What I would say about the manager is United either need to get off their arse and start interviewing managers this week, or just give it to Carrick, because it's the last week of April now. Like, what have we done for 3.5 months since we sacked Amrim? So just give it to Carrick and everyone can get on with it, or actually start interviewing people, because this is the last week of April now. And I genuinely feel like Jason Wilcox has been on holiday for 3 months. What is he actually doing? What is our director of football actually doing, apart from praying that Carrick gets his Champions League football so he can give him the job? But look, we don't want to talk about the manager at the start. I want to talk about this multiple outlets talking about Newcastle over the last 24 hours. So if you've not been keeping abreast of what's happening at Newcastle, Eddie Howe has lost, but certainly two in a row. They're down where we were last season. They're having a terrible season. And basically, Newcastle, there's all sorts of things going on. Eddie Howe, with a massive pause, asked about players, whether they're putting in a shift. There's unrest. There's massive doubts about Eddie Howe. And basically, Newcastle want to hit this summer transfer market quickly and make big changes. This means the likes of Bruno Gimarães, Anthony Gordon, Tonali, maybe, and it's probably far-fetched to mention Lewis Hall, maybe Livramento. These players are players that Newcastle are wanting to offload now so they can get on with what they know is going to be a massive rebuild. Now, whether Eddie Howe will be the manager or not, it doesn't really matter, because imagine if they give the job to Jose Mourinho and Jose Mourinho says, don't sell anybody until I say so. Newcastle can't do that. So when you're reading about Newcastle at the moment, it's very much about, we need to sell players now. And then if we do get a new manager in, those players are gone and the manager can't, you know, delay things. Newcastle don't want to be in the same position that they were with Isak. They don't want to be in the same position where they were trying to buy players and sell Isak in August. So they are in turmoil. They are in trouble. They are in meltdown. Players want out. Eddie Howe might be going out. And Newcastle's board are desperately trying to get things moving quickly so they can get the money in and get the changes, whether it's Eddie Howe with new players or their new manager with new players. I think this is a massive opportunity. And I know it's Newcastle related, but when you look at the situation that we're in, 10 points clear in the Champions League race from sixth place, we're going to get Champions League football. What people forget is that There's nobody that's going to catch us. There's nobody that's going to catch Villa. And there's probably nobody that's going to catch Liverpool in fifth. They're 7 points ahead of sixth anyway. So Champions League football is basically done for United. There is no chasing pack. We don't need to be massively concerned. Liverpool have got to play Villa. Chelsea have got to play Liverpool. So there's the high chances that we're going to finish third. We now need to be having these conversations, because obviously the manager is very, very relevant. But the current state of play with United and transfers is this. Almost should have the bloody hotometer, actually. Diamande, we spent a lot of time talking with Diamande. It's looking more and more likely that he's going to stay at Leipzig. They're going to get Champions League football. They're in the top four in the Bundesliga. And realistically, Leipzig want him to stay. So Diamande is looking unlikely. We didn't get Semenyu. We don't really know what we're doing on the wing. There is NJ at Everton, but the feeling is that's too expensive. So when it comes to a winger, there's not really a lot going on. When it comes to the midfield, we want Elliot Anderson. We want Elliot Anderson. But Elliot Anderson is in a relegation battle with Forest. He's in a Europa League semi-final with Forest and Manchester City, the favourites. So nothing's really moving there. Wharton, Liverpool are now in talks with. So that's, you know, not an easy deal to do. So you sort of look at United at the moment, you go, look, you might want Anderson and you might want Diamande, but they're not actually going to happen, are they? And they're not going to happen very, very quickly. You've got this open goal with Newcastle where they want to sell, because they've got to have a major rebuild in the summer and they want to get it done early. United need to realise that there is a list, and there is a manager list, which I'll talk about in a minute, but there is a list of players that we can go and get. But we can't do this chronologically. If Anderson's your priority and you're not going to get a decision on him, then we need, in my opinion, we need three midfielders. We certainly need two. I would take Tonali over Anderson anyway. I know that's quite divisive, and some people will be with me and some people won't. I just think a 26-year-old midfielder in that midfield, and look, I'll bring my point in here. Who agrees with me on this? Like, when you look at United's season and the good results we've had since Christmas, how much of that is about tactical genius and how much of that is about experienced players doing things for their own reasons? And what I mean about that is, I mentioned Di Matteo and having Terry and Lampard and Drogba and winning the Champions League as an interim, and then it all fell apart. Those players were motivated for that last few months of the season, and then the following season, it wasn't replicated. Harry Maguire has been playing for a new contract. Casemiro is playing for a new club. You know, he's trying to play for a new deal. Luke Shaw's playing to go to the World Cup. Mainu is playing to go to the World Cup. And Bruno Fernandes is just a genius. You know, he's just an absolute workaholic. So there's half a team there that are massively motivated. Some of them won't be here next year and some of them won't be as motivated. So how much of United's success this season is based around mainly experienced players pushing for things that motivate them, like contracts, new clubs, World Cups? It's an interesting point, isn't it? And how much of that will be there next season? Well, Casemiro won't be there. So if you've got Casemiro, who's a very experienced player, who is playing at his absolute limit for two reasons. One, Casemiro wasn't in the Brazilian World Cup squad at the start of the season. And two, he's playing for a move. So we're losing an experienced, motivated player in the summer. And we're replacing them with Elliot Anderson or Adam Wharton or Carlos Baleba. Casemiro needs to be replaced with a motivated, experienced player. Tonali from Newcastle to Man United or Newcastle to Real Madrid or Newcastle to Arsenal is going to be massively motivated. And he's 26. I think Tonali is the perfect signing for Manchester United. I'm not the director of football. Jason Wilcox is. But I would say to Jason, you are obsessed with players under 24. Have you actually scrutinised your football club that you are the director of football of? Because I look at United, and this is not a manager conversation. I look at United and I see Maguire, Casemiro, Bruno consistently winning as games of football. Maguire's been playing for a new contract and is 33. Casemiro is playing to go to the World Cup and get a new club. And Bruno is, you know, is a phenom. You know, Bruno's a phenom. So next season, you don't have Casemiro. Maguire's going to be 34 and has his contract. You're very reliant on Bruno again for the experience, aren't you? At least this year, we've had Casemiro and Maguire popping up. Even Luke Shaw stayed fit. So you've got to replace that experience. You've got to explain. You've got to. And Bruno Guimaraes is somebody as well. I completely agree with Elshu, who says Bruno Guimaraes. I think that this Newcastle opportunity is one that, you know, I know people are, we're having the debate about the manager. We're having the debate about other things. I'm having this debate. Newcastle are in meltdown. You know, they're in a really bad situation. And as, you know, I know a couple of Newcastle fans and I was speaking to one about a week ago and they said, we've just got to own up to the fact that we're not going to be in Europe next year. And that's going to kill us financially. So we've got to sell a couple of players. We've probably got to back or sack Eddie Howe. But what we need to do is not replicate what happened last season with Isak. We need to sell these players early and be in the market early because there's a lot of opportunities. And the problem Newcastle had last year is they didn't do their business early enough and they ended up signing people like Wizza and Valtameda when they should have been in a better position. They want to hit this market early. And look, the great thing about the midfield market is if you sell Bruno Guimaraes and Tonali, you've still got James Garner, Alex Scott, João Gomes. I mean, these are all players that Newcastle could get, plus players on the continent that could bring in the next Bruno Guimaraes. So Newcastle want to be active quickly, which means they want to sell quickly. And these players will obviously want to get their move quickly. I think United need to absolutely focus in on experience. The club we obsess about, Chelsea, are about to change their parameters and go for experience. We need to go and get some experience. But it's not only experience, it's quality and it's availability and it's the openness of Newcastle to want to start negotiating early so they can get on with their summer as well. We've got a massive summer, so have Newcastle. They've got two or three players that really suit us profile-wise And we're sort of sat there going, well, what about Belaiba? What about Anderson? And that's going to take time. I think Tonali is the most suitable midfield replacement for Casemiro. And I think that deal could be done now. I really do. Newcastle's season's over. They can't come back. They can't fight for Europe. They're not coming back. They've absolutely screwed it. They're looking at the summer. They're on the beach. United, we're basically in the Champions League. We have a great opportunity here. It's just whether you or the club actually want to go and do those deals, because Bruno Guimarães and Tonali, I mean, I'd take both. We won't do both, but I would take both of those two in our midfield, and I'd be absolutely excited about next season. You know, if we had Bruno Guimarães, Tonali, Mainoo, Bruno Fernandes, still need another one, but I'd be absolutely over the moon with that. And we're not going to get both. We're not going to get both. That never is going to happen. Absolutely not. But at the moment, I don't think we're going to get either. And there's a great opportunity there. And look, it's a bit of a strange one to start off talking about Newcastle, but ultimately, we need to get business done, and we need to get lots of business done, and they want to do business, and they've got two assets in their midfield that massively improve us and bring experience. I mean, it's a great comment. Why is Bruno Guimarães not being spoken about? He should be bloody spoken about. The only reason he's not being spoken about is because he's 28. And that's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. How are, and I think this is a mic drop comment, how are Man United basically saying we don't want to buy players over 26, and yet our three best players this season are over 30? Casemiro, Maguire and Bruno are arguably our three best players under Carrick, and they're all over 30. And United are going, we don't want to buy people over 26. I mean, it's just downright stupidity. There's a lot to moan about Man United, and there's a lot to be excited about Man United, but there are things to highlight that should be screamed from the fucking rooftops. Our three best players under Carrick are well over 30, and we won't buy players over 26. Maybe there's a correlation between, a bit of experience in the team and performing better. I mean, look, I'll tell you this for free. The Chelsea game is so symbolic, it's slapping us in the face like a wet fish. Chelsea dominators, I think they had an XG of, ours was tiny, theirs was massive. They should have beat us based on, expectation of goals, whatever. Bollocks, they didn't beat us. But my point is, why couldn't Chelsea beat us, and why did we beat Chelsea? Well, I'd say experience. I'd say the experience of people like Mazraoui, Casemiro, Bruno Fernandes, helped the younger players like Heaven and Mainoo get over the line. Whereas at Chelsea, they didn't have a Casemiro, they didn't have a Bruno, they didn't have a Mazraoui, they didn't have any experience, and they didn't have the experience to get the result. So, literally on Saturday night, in that huge result, would we have won the game with a team of people under 24? No. We won the game because we had players who knew how to dig in. Mazraoui was superb with Heaven. Casemiro, all right, wasn't his best game, but he's experienced. Bruno as well. So it's strange to me that we're actually, when you think about it, we're actually trying to make this team inexperienced. We're going to replace Casemiro with an under 24. I think that Newcastle opportunity is an open goal, and United need to be in talks with them. Because the great thing about someone like Tonali at the moment is Arsenal are thinking about the Champions League and the Premier League. Man City are thinking about the Premier League and Elliot Anderson. Chelsea don't know where they're going to be. Liverpool don't know where they're going to be. And Man United, we know where we're going to be. Apparently we've got the money. Now is the time. Now is the time, isn't it? And, experience is so important. As Neon says, what about Bernardo Silva yesterday in that game? Yeah. Look, experience is worth its weight in gold. Absolutely. And we're about to lose a very experienced player and arguably one of our better players. Someone said, what about De Ligt? Well, De Ligt was a very good player for Man United, but he hasn't played since late November. So we're talking about a whole season here, aren't we? Patrick Lynch says, the toughest thing about any deals with Newcastle is they will want a big price tag for any player, due to their owners and how PSR has affected them in the past, and we're poor negotiators. I mean, I think this is a great point from Patrick. It's about how much you would pay. I'm telling you now, pick a card. If I am Manchester United and I am Jason Wilcox, I am saying to Sir Jim Radcliffe, we are about to buy one of the best midfielders in Europe for £100 million, and we're going to give him £250,000 a week, and I'm going to put the offer in. And if you tell me I can't do it, I can't do my job. I can't negotiate that down. That's his price, Sir Jim. I can't negotiate his wage down. That's the price. If you want to replace Casemiro for the next 4 years with a really good midfielder that's experienced, that's going to get us those results we've been getting this season, then I have to write that check. And I tell you what, if you don't want me to get Tonali, I'm still going to have to write a similar check for Elliot Anderson or Adam Wharton. So let me write that check now. Let me put that offer in now. Let's get on with it. But like Patrick says, we're probably going to go, well, let's wait. You know, in fairness, the player might be going, well, I want to see what Arsenal do at the end of the season. I want to see what Man City do at the end of the season. But that's just weak negotiation. Like, you go to Newcastle, you make the offer they're going to accept, then you negotiate with the player and you say, look, we want you to be our superstar signing. We want to get you in now. Go off and enjoy your holidays. Come back. Let's hit the ground running. Aggressive. Aggressive in what you want to get and ruthless in what you want to get rid of. I'm so sure somebody said that before. Rajaf says, January quadruple, February treble, March double, April stay humble. The day after the Arsenal bottle is so peaceful as a United fan, says Rajaf. And Irish Ghost says, willing to go for €100 million, Diamande, but consider Premier League proven, Ndiaye too expensive, says Irish Ghost. I don't know whether you're taking my words or you're just making that up. I wouldn't pay €100 million for Diamande, and I don't think the price was ever set at that by any realistic journalist. I think what you've got is Everton won't want to sell NJ, and Leipzig probably won't sell Diamande either. So either of those two players is going to be very, very expensive. Look, I like NJ, but I think he's very similar to Cunha. I think he's very similar to Cunha in relation to profile of player. He is more of a winger, but I think he's very more, you know, he's very similar. Dino 69 says, morning, Mark. What are your thoughts about United going for Koku from Beşiktaş in the summer, supposedly for £52 million? I think we'll get linked to a lot of people. I'm surprised we've not been linked to Yildiz of talking about Turkish players. I'm surprised we're not been linked to Yildiz of Juventus yet, because I think his profile is very interesting. I mean, statistically speaking, he's up there with the likes of Vinicius Junior, but he's doing it in the Italian league. What I would say about players like Yildiz and maybe the player you're talking about there is you've got to be very, very careful about this World Cup, because as much as most of us intelligent people know that you don't scout people in the World Cup, you scout them for their club team. If people do well in the World Cup, their price goes up. So again, look, Tonali's not in the World Cup. It's worth doing a deal, but we've got to be very careful about players that we like that are going to the World Cup. If we like a player that's going to the World Cup, we'd be absolutely stupid not to try and get that deal done before, because the World Cup can inflate prices, certainly. But it does worry me. It does worry me, you know. I mean, obviously, we'll talk about the manager in a few minutes and what's going to happen there, but there is a bigger conversation about whoever the manager is. They need a lot of players this summer. And, you know, maybe the manager conversation is clouding people's judgments around the fact that we should have been in negotiations for players in March, in the March international break. And there is so much for Man United to do. And what I don't want to see happen, whether it's Carrick or whoever, is only four signings. Because we're going to struggle next season. We're going to struggle big time if it's only four signings. So we need to get moving. And I think it's a very valid point that when you analyse Man United's performances, and I see, you know what? It's all about opinion and it's all about debate and it's not about abuse, but some people just get abusive, because I think when people start, you know, threatening people and using abusive language, it's because, you know, one, they're losing the argument, and two, they can't actually have a debate with people. But you know, there are people out there trying to justify that United have been good to watch for the last 3 months. I mean, come on. You can want this manager and this coach, but you can't manipulate people into pretending that the football's been good for the last 2 or 3 months. These results we've got have been very good. I don't know any United fan that's moaned about the results. They're worried, maybe scared about the future, but the results have been really good. Now, analyse those results. How many goals have we scored from, you know, Bruno Fernandes supplying them? How many goals have we scored from Maguire or Casemiro getting on the end of them. I mean, wasn't there a game against Fulham where Fulham basically battered us, but we scored two goals from set pieces. So United have had fantastic results without playing fantastic football. And Ollie ball, vibe football, counter-attacking football, whatever. But the bottom line is, those results don't happen without the experience of Bruno Fernandes, Casemiro and Harry Maguire. In my experience, those three players have been the most consistent players under Michael Carrick. I can't think of anybody else. Yes, Luke Shaw's played every minute. I don't think he's very good. Delo's been in and out of the team and in and out of form. Lemond has been very good in goal. Obviously, a goalkeeper's a specialist position. Maynou's been, you know, brilliant against Chelsea and okay in a lot of other games. Cunha, in and out. Sesko has scored some important goals. Mbeumo not been particularly good. Amad's not been particularly good. So I'm right. Casemiro, Maguire and Bruno have been our three best players under Carrick. And it's funny, isn't it? Because under Amorim, obviously Bruno was good, but I would argue that Cunha was good, Mbeumo was good, Amad was good. Players for the future. Under Carrick, they've not been as good. And the players that aren't going to be here long term have. So you could look at the way that we're playing under Carrick and say, the players that are getting us the results won't even be here in 2 years. Some of them won't be here next year. So argue with me. Tell me I'm wrong. Take Bruno, Maguire and Casemiro out of that team. Where are we in the league? In fact, keep Bruno in the team. Take Maguire and Casemiro out of the team. Where are we in the league? Because Bruno will be here next year, I believe. We're massively centric around Bruno, Casemiro and Maguire. So my point is, that's experience. That's players over 30 dragging the team to unlikely results at times. You've got to replace that. You've got to replace that with experience. Tonali's an open goal. Bruno Guimarães is an open goal. Everything else is a big risk. Yeah. Yeah. Diamande for 100 million is miles better than Rodgers for 100 million. That guy is special. Not just stats by percentile, but in the game as well. Rodgers is just British bias, says Naveen. Naveen, can I just say, for a news show, you're an absolute bloody genius because it wasn't on my notes to bring into the show and it's an absolutely brilliant point. I think you might be right about something there that is worth mentioning. Look, Morgan Rodgers scored a goal again yesterday for Villa. He's looking to move. I think Villa might look at Gibbs-White as a very good replacement for Morgan Rodgers. And I think if Villa can get close to £100 million for Rodgers and get Gibbs-White for, say, 60, 70, they might do a deal like that because the change isn't that big. And they make a bit of profit. Morgan Rodgers and Michael Carrick have history at Middlesbrough. I can see a scenario where Carrick gets the job and Morgan Rodgers comes into Man United. I just don't know how that works in Carrick's system. But I think it's a fair point, Naveen. And the only reason I mention that is because if it's not going to be... we need to buy a winger. And if it's not going to be Diamande and it's not going to be NJ, I do feel like the Rodgers stuff has got legs in the sense that it makes a lot of sense in relation to he's British. He's got a good relationship with Carrick and they need to buy an attacker. The problem with Morgan Rodgers is I don't think he's a winger. I think he's a very good player, but I don't think he's a winger. I think Morgan Rodgers is very similar to Cunha again. There's a very similar profile to Cunha in the sense that he's not really a winger, but you can put him on the wing. He is a number 10. And we've already got the world's best number 10. So I don't know why you'd want to spend a big amount of money, but Diamande's perfect because he's an actual winger. He's an actual winger and he's going to probably end up being one of the best wingers in the world. But it doesn't look like we can get him, you know? How do we feel about Camavinga from Madrid, says Jermaine? I mean, the midfield market is so awash with talent that you're almost scared to miss. You're almost like, let's get Scott from Bournemouth. And then you see João Gomes go to Liverpool and he's amazing. And you go, why didn't we do that? Or you go for, you know, you bring Garner back from Everton and then you see Scott at Newcastle and he's one of the best players in the league. There's so many good players available. United just need to profile it right. I mean, my midfield three signings, I'd love to know what yours are in the chat. My midfield three signings changes all the time. For a long time, it was Tonali, Anderson and someone like João Gomes. I'd be very happy with those three. I think you just get the right balance and we do need three midfielders. Part of me now is like even thinking a little bit like an accountant and going, I don't need Tonali and Anderson because that's nearly £180 million of expenditure potentially. Give me Tonali. Anderson probably goes to City. So give me Tonali, give me Scott from Bournemouth and give me someone like João Gomes and I'd be very happy. I'd actually be quite happy with the midfield profile of Maynou, Scott, Tonali and João Gomes because I get João Gomes in his mid-20s, I get Tonali at 26 and I get Scott who's in his early 20s and I get Maynou. I think the balance would be really good there. What I want is four midfielders that will compete with each other and I don't necessarily need four superstars. I'm very happy with Maynou. I'd be very happy with Scott. I'd be very happy with Tonali. I'd be very happy with João Gomes. I'd be very happy with that four. I don't know what it would cost me, but there are so many combinations that you can build. Camavinga. I mean, Camavinga just, I don't know. The thing about Camavinga is, and don't forget Fernandes as well, says Mr. Sparkle at West Ham. Yeah, very, very good player. The thing about Camavinga is, why would he be coming from Real Madrid to Man United? Because he hasn't fulfilled his talent at Real Madrid. And I think that's always a bit of a red flag, isn't it? Newcastle don't want an Isaac saga. They need to get realistic and sell for a reasonable price, says Mr. Saunders. Thank you very much for that. Also, I haven't looked, so I don't know. But do you know what the free agent market is looking like this summer? Any smart deals to be made, says Nick B. I can do that while I'm talking about something else. I can't type and talk as well. Let me do that. Contract expiring this summer. You've got Konate, Vlahovic, Bernardo Silva, Harry Wilson, Senesi, Brandt, Sessegnon at Fulham, Goretzka at Bayern. And then you're starting to get into people like Rico Henry at Brentford. Fabinho at Al Etihad. Kessie, who's 29, in Saudi as well. I mean, and what I would say is there's only two players that are under 26. Ryan Sessegnon, left back from Fulham. And, So there's short answer, there's not really anything in the market for anyone there. I love the results, but when we are out football aside playing football, we're bad footballing side under Carrick, says Ray Carl Brown Amore. Morning, Ray. Hope you're doing well. I want a good footballing side who plays football and wins. Thank you very much for that. Look, on the manager market, I think the manager market is still very, very much something that United should be looking at. I also think that we are heading towards the last week of April now. And the question has to be, and always will be, in my opinion, you can want Carrick, you can not want Carrick. You can want Iriola, you can not want Iriola. Name your manager, it doesn't matter. But I think the unforgivable thing that United are walking towards is doing exactly, and I just don't understand this. It's like a mate who marries someone you know is not suitable. And you see all the mistakes and eventually they have a divorce. And you go, you know what? It wasn't going to work. You gave it a try. Everybody makes a mistake. You know, it's over now. And then a couple of years later, they're in a relationship with the same type of person. And you're going, what are you doing? Oh, I'm not going to listen. No, seriously, what are you doing? And I feel like United, if they just give this job to Carrick because he got Champions League football, it is no different to giving Solskjaer the job because he won a few games as well. And what I find unforgivable is that when they sacked Mourinho, Ed Woodward told the fans, we're going to run a best-in-class managerial recruitment process in the summer. And we're relaxed about that, and that's the plan. And then in March, he hands a contract out because everyone's singing Ollie's at the wheel. And in January this year, Jason Wilcox and Omar Berada put it out there that they're going to run a best-in-class manager recruitment process, having sacked Amrim halfway through the season. And here we are again, where we've not interviewed anybody, and it's a case of when are they going to give Carrick the contract? I think it's so small time, it's embarrassing. This is not about giving Carrick the job or not giving Carrick the job. This is about the process, right? It's embarrassing that this football club is going to do exactly what they did with Solskjaer and not interview other people and just go, we think we've stumbled on a guy that's an interim who's the guy to make Man United great again. We may as well sack yourself. You may as well sack yourself as a CEO and a director of football if you're going to tell the world we've accidentally stumbled on an interim coach who's the guy to rebuild United. Your job's not worth it then. What are you doing? You know, you stumbled on an interim with a bunch of coaches who are now going to rebuild United. You're not doing your job then, are you? Anyone could do that. You know, Data Dean could stumble on a bloody interim and say, let's give it that. They have to interview other candidates. Still give it to Carrick, but you have to interview other people. You can't do what Woodward did and just give it to the interim without interviewing anybody else. It's amateur hour. It's embarrassing. They have to interview other people, even if they want to give it to Carrick. You have to interview other people because you have to show that you're Manchester United. You have to show that although we have a preference, we're also going to look at the best options out there as well. You know, you don't just settle on the first option that you think is the right option. You've got to interview other people. We're not bloody Sunderland. And I'm not taking the piss out of Sunderland here. I'm just saying that Sunderland isn't Man United. Everton aren't Man United. Fulham aren't Man United. We're Man United. We're in the same conversation as Bayern Munich and Real Madrid. We're not in the same conversation as Sunderland and Fulham. As in relation to status, Man United is one of the most renowned football clubs in the world. So when people say, well, there's nobody out there that's gettable, there's nobody out there that's realistic, that's only because the club and the way that it's run has lowered your standards and expectations so low, you think you're Sunderland. Some of us think we're Real Madrid. Some of us think we're Bayern Munich. Some of us remember what Man United actually is. So when I hear people saying, well, there's nobody out there that's gettable, if I'm Jason Wilcox and I'm Omar Berada, I am going to Sir Jim Ratcliffe when I've sacked Amrim. I'm saying this is our top five and we're going to get somebody on this list. We're going to get somebody on this list. In fact, you know what, Sir Jim? We're not even going to get somebody on this list. We're going to be choosing who we want to take off this list because we're Man United. It's not about they're not gettable and it's not about what's not realistic. This is our top five list to be the Man United manager and we're going to get one of them. What's hard about that? I have a five-man manager list and I'm going to get one of them. In fact, I've got a five-man manager list and I reckon we're going to be taking our pick from three of them. So I look at it. And if you want that list, by the way, I'll give you a list. A list of top-tier managers that Man United should be going all out to get. Okay? Tuchel, Nagelsmann, Emery, Simeone, Iriola, Pochettino. I could keep going, actually. Pochettino. In fact, take Tuchel. I still think Tuchel should be got. I still think he was gettable. But even if we're removing him, Pochettino, Simeone, Emery, Nagelsmann, Iriola. All five of those managers are gettable. Absolutely gettable. You're telling me Atletico Madrid is bigger than Man United? Come on, let's get rid. You're telling me Aston Villa is bigger than Man United? Come on. They're gettable. You might need to negotiate. You might need to, you know, give up a little bit of, you know, power in the boardroom, but they are gettable. They are gettable. Of course they are. And that is my issue. It's this whole nonsense PR that they're not gettable. They're not realistic because the standards of the football club have just been pushed down and some of our fans are cheering about it. Oh, it's great. I'm not saying don't give it to Carrick. I mean, well, I am, but I'm not saying you don't have to give it to Carrick. What I'm saying is interview other people. Interview other people. They are extremely gettable. What people mean when they say they're not gettable is the club won't spend. And that's not your problem as a fan or as an ex-player. That's not a justification. Your job as a fan or an ex-player who's talking about this is what's best for Manchester United Football Club. Not what's best for my mate. Not what's best for the bank balance. What's best for Manchester United? Manchester United need a best-in-class manager because we certainly haven't got a best-in-class board and we haven't got a best-in-class squad. So we better have a best-in-class manager who knows what they're on about. You draw up a five-man list and you interview every bloody one of them and you make them gettable, and they are gettable. I'm not saying Emery's the guy, but why isn't he gettable? Aston Villa are always going to be limited in PSR because they don't have a big enough stadium and they don't have a big enough fan base. So Emery is always going to be fighting with one arm behind his back. So you speak to Emery and you say, do you want to come to Man United? And he goes, yes. And then the hard work starts with Villa. But there's a price. There is a price. So he is gettable. With Nagelsmann and Pochettino, they're gettable. They're in international football. They'll want to come back to club football. They're gettable. With Iriola, he's out of contract. He's definitely gettable. With Simeone, I don't really know how it works, but obviously he's very loyal to Atletico Madrid, but he's been there for a very long time. If he wants the move, he's gettable. They're all gettable. And it pisses me off that we're being told we've just got to settle for Carrick, and we don't have to settle for anything. We can interview other people and then still go for Carrick. But to not interview anybody and say, well, he's the only one, how does that do him any favours anyway? How does it do Carrick any favours to be given the job because there's nobody else out there? I mean, I saw the clip from Ferdinand, and I've seen Owen Hargreaves comments as well. I know they're mates with him and they're trying to back him, but they're actually not helping him because they're basically saying, well, there's nobody else out there, so give it him. I'd rather him get the job knowing that we've interviewed Nagelsmann, Simeone, Emery. I mean, that gives him such strength and power if he gets the job and other good managers have been interviewed. If we give him the job and we don't interview anybody else, that's a bit shit on him, really. That's a bit like, well, there's nobody else anyway, you know? Why can't we hire a manager with a philosophy to bring it to our opponents rather than counter-attacking, says Mohammed. And Jid says, what if the aforementioned managers have met with the club, but Carrick's the only one who's willing to be a yes man? Well, they haven't, because United leaked like a sieve, and we definitely haven't spoken to any other managers. Have we held talks with anyone about anything, says Chris? I mean, that's the bigger question. I don't know whether we've held talks with any players at an advanced stage either, which is probably a little bit more concerning. I don't know about that. Naveen says, my dream is Tonali for 100 million, Scott 55, Stiller or Fernandez for 50, Diamande for 80 to 100, Hall for 50, and Chiodo for 45. Also, Vuskovic, if Spurs go down, will be a dream. I mean, I'm just doing quick maths here, and I think you've spent nearly £400 million. Yeah, so I don't think that's going to happen. But look, the players you've listed are all needed, but it's the prices, yeah. Marlo says, the climb back to the top is practically impossible. We always end up with next best. I love Cunha and Mbeumo, but you wouldn't put them in the top five in their positions in Europe, says Marlo. I do believe that the conversation around Ahmad and Cunha and Mbeumo is a little bit harsh at times. Do I think they're going to be the world's best players and spoken about in the same sentences as Bruno and Vitinha? I've just given two players there, but you know, I didn't want to use Vinicius Junior, Haaland, Mbappe because they're like superstar players. But I don't think Cunha and Mbeumo are ever going to be at the level of a Bruno or a Vitinha or someone like that who are top players. But they are certainly players that are worth their weight in gold in a squad of 20 players. Is Cunha better than Martinelli and Trossard? Yes. Is Mbeumo better than Madueke and Eze? I would argue, yes. These types of players are huge in a squad of 20. And they're starters as well. So I don't really have a problem with Mbeumo and Cunha. Do we need better or similar type profiles of players? Yes. Can you win a title with Mbeumo and Cunha as your superstar players? Well, that's up for debate. But they're very important players. They're very important players for us. And also, I think they've had very, very difficult seasons in the sense that there's been a lot of upheaval. Welcome to Man United. This is what it's like. The scrutiny is relentless. And, you know, that's just from the board. Like, people talk about fan pressure. What pressure, you know? There is, talking of which, I'm playing Chloe Kelly's team tonight. I'm Baller League. You can tune in at 5 o'clock. We're in Liverpool Gold Devils against Clutch. I think we're game two. And then it's Ginger's team against KSI's team, Prime against United, which I think I'm commentating on. So yeah, looking forward to that tonight. Don't miss that. But yeah, look, what was I talking about? Pressure. Yeah, I mean, fan pressure is nothing compared to the pressure that the club put on our players. I mean, look, you signed for Man United and you're Cunha. Amorim is a big reason why you sign. You're doing quite well under him, but the team's, you know, not getting the results it should be getting. But you're probably thinking, all right, we're not getting the results we should be getting, but we've not lost two games in a row. We're joint fifth. There's a long way to go. And Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, I believe we'll get better. And I think that's what a lot of players thought. The next thing you know, that manager's been sacked. The system that you were doing quite well in is changed. You're playing on the left wing in a counter-attacking team. Results have got better, but your performances are getting worse. So I can sympathise with Cunha and Embuemo because I actually think they came to the club to be part of a project that the club abandoned after 6 months. They were both doing quite well in that project and would have been thinking, all right, it's a bit of a bumpy start, but we're not losing every week. We should be winning games, but we're drawing. You know, things will get better. And then, you know, they completely change it to the detriment of those two players. Embuemo finds himself playing up front in a counter-attacking team and Cunha finds himself on the left wing in a counter-attacking team. And, you know, there's a bit of disruption there and they haven't been terrible. So I do sort of think that people are a little bit harsh on Cunha and Embuemo because in their first season, they've had to deal with quite a lot. It's a bit like Dilip and Mazraoui. Bought by Ten Hag, you know, he's gone very, very quickly. Same for Yoro. Yoro's had three managers now. So I think there's been a lot of people. And look, you know, just talking about that, whether it's Carrick or Amorim, amazing stat I saw today. Man United haven't lost two games in a row in the Premier League this season. So Amorim managed half the season, more than half the season, and Carrick's managed the last few games. We haven't actually lost two games in a row all season in the Prem. So we have been hard to beat. All season, I think we've been hard to beat. You know, you look at the Forest and Spurs games away. Winning at half-time, fall apart in the second half, but managed to get a draw out of both of those. Obviously, I think the Newcastle and Everton games are very frustrating, losing to 10 men. That was two losses. Brentford, we got absolutely done by. Man City were obviously better than us. Leeds were better than us. I'm trying to think who else we've lost to. How many losses have we had in the Prem this season? Goes to Premier League title table. We've lost seven games this season. Who have we lost to this year? Man City, Brentford. Oh, Arsenal opening game of the season. Everton. Newcastle. Leeds. We must have lost another game under Amorim. I can't think who it is. Chat, help me out. Arsenal, Man City, Brentford, Everton, Newcastle, Leeds, Villa. Oh, yeah, Villa. Just before Christmas, yeah. I mean, we should have won that. Villa away, wasn't it? Yeah, well, we should have fucking won that. I mean, that was just Morgan Rogers' two wonder goals, yeah. But we've not lost two games in a row all season. And you know, that makes me laugh. You know when you get people like Nicky Butt saying, ah, oh, we'd have lost this game 4-0 under Amorim. The reality is, all season, and I'm not talking about coaches here, all season, we have been relatively hard to beat. Most of the game, I mean, Brentford, we got stuffed. Leeds did stuff us, to be fair. I know it was only 2-1. Newcastle and Everton were embarrassing. Both. I mean, how do you lose seven games, which isn't many, but two of them you lose to 10 men when they've got 10 men? I mean, that's just wild. Villa, we shouldn't have lost there. Leeds, I think we deserve to lose. Brentford, we deserve to lose. Man City, we deserve to lose. Villa, we should. Arsenal, we didn't deserve to lose that either. So, yeah, it's been a funny season. It's been a funny season, but the thing is, do you think there's a lot to build on with this team, or do you think this was just a team built for this season. And that's going to be the problem. I think there is, going back to what I said at the start of the video, how much of our performances this season have come from experienced players playing it up for a reason? Maguire for a new contract, Luke Shaw to go to the World Cup, Casemiro to go to the World Cup and get a move in the summer. There's a lot of results that I think we've got this season based on experienced players, and we have to replace that. We have to replace that. This has not been a season based on, you know, promise, vision and performance. I think this has been a season based on determination, grit and motivation to an end game, which ends at the end of the season. And how we replicate that next season is going to be very interesting, because we won't have Casemiro. Maguire will be a year older and he has his contract. I don't think Luke Shaw will be able to play two games a week, and there's no World Cup at the end of the season. So we definitely need to replace some experience in that team. I think a left-back's hugely important as well. I really think a left-back is massively important. Maybe it can be Dorgu. I think we've missed Dorgu, but we do need a left-back. I think the team would be so much better with a proper left-back. Bram's gifted a membership. Thank you very much. I wanted to just talk about Bruno as well. There was a story coming out last night. I can't remember where it was. It might have been Lookhurst, actually, talking about the likelihood of Bruno Fernandes staying. Never say never with Bruno Fernandes, but I do think the fact that Champions League football is there gives us the best opportunity. If we don't get Champions League football, I think Bruno's gone. The fact that we have Champions League football, I think that's all we could ever offer. Obviously, there's a bit of a pay rise with that. So we're going to put ourselves in the best position possible. And, you know, Bruno has a lot of freedom at Man United. Ricky would say too much bloody freedom, but he has a lot of freedom at Man United. He is the star player. He's getting a lot of respect in the wider league at the moment. A lot of people think he should be player of the year. We were talking about that in January, and he bloody well should be. So I think the chances of Bruno staying is high. But I still would hope he will be looking at what we do in the summer and saying, is it worth me staying? But I think there's a very big chance that he will stay at Man United. Why can't we hire a manager? I've done that one. Bram, thank you very much. What if the aforementioned managers have met with the club? No, we've done that one, haven't we? Thank you very much. Okay. Great show this morning. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Don't forget, we've got the 2 o'clock show live as always, and we have an evening show for you as well. But tonight from 5 o'clock, join me live. Oh, God, I need to wake up a bit. Join me live. It's Gold Devils against Clutch in the Baller League. Give us some support. We're live from the Liverpool Arena. I can't remember what it's called, but it's live on my channel. We'll have the IRL camera and everything like that in the streaming booth. And you can also watch it on Sky and the Baller League YouTube channel. But it's back tonight, and hopefully we can get a win. We need to interview other managers 100%. It's not a good look if we don't. I want Nagelsmann personally. Thanks, Mark, and everyone at the United stand for the next 40, says United Nick. I think bare minimum, and I expect them to give Carrick the job, as you know, but bare minimum, you've got to interview other managers. It helps Carrick, because it gives him credibility, and it also helps the board because it shows that they actually know what they're doing. You can't just go for the first option in the shop. You've got to interview other people and show some professionalism to the enormity of the job, you know? Thank you, everybody. Great show this morning, says Kian. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. So well done to everybody who's watched live. If you're not watching live, leave your comments as always. Take care, stay safe, and I will speak to you all later.